The MMA on the Rocks podcast is intended for adult audiences and does contain some explicit content. So if you are not an adult, please make sure your parents do not know you are listening to this and do not repeat anything you hear on this show in front of them. Also a reminder that even if you fight recklessly, please remember to drink responsibly. Now that we have that out of the way, let's get to the show. Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 267, or you're joining us live on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, I think. I think the Facebook ban is over. Whatever we did to piss off Facebook, they're allowing us back on, but I didn't change anything about the show, so I anticipate we're going to get kicked off again. So make sure you subscribe on YouTube, turn on your notifications so you know when the show is live, like right now. Today is Sunday, December 12th. We're one day removed from UFC 269. Action-packed pay-per-view. Lots to talk about there. We're also a few days removed from BKFC, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship in Tampa. I was there live. I could prove it. Here's my media pass. I forgot to hang it on the wall with my other credential passes. Shout out to Bernie from the BKFC PR agency that hooked me up with the press credentials. Coming through strong. All right. So let me introduce. It's not Jeff the Animal Wilson. He's going to be joining in later. It's actor, producer, Sandshao fighter, World Cup bronze medalist in Sandshao, and undefeated bare knuckle boxer, Mr. J.R. Ridge. J.R., how you feeling, my man?
Thank you. I'm feeling good. Thank you for having me on.
I forgot model. You're a model too, aren't you?
Oh, only sometimes.
I've seen you modeling for Disney.
Yeah, only whenever they need a handsome Asian man. That's whenever I'll model for them.
Yeah, well, that's why I called to have you on the show, because I needed a handsome Asian man. And here you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So you had your bare knuckle debut this past Thursday in Tampa in front of a hometown crowd. It's the first time you fought in a while and the first time you fought bare knuckle at all. So what was your overall experience with the whole thing?
Well, it was good knocking the rust off for sure. You said it's been a long time. It's actually been about 10 years. So there was
that
a little
is a
bit
long
of
time.
Rust. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, the experience of being back in the arena and the experience being back, you know, in that fight world is just electrifying. And it brought so many memories and so many feelings back in the moment. And it's indescribable. I can't wait for the next.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know what you're capable of because we trained together. You punched me in the face on multiple occasions. So I had no doubt that you could do well, but a 40-second knockout in the first round with a body shot, did you expect for it to go that well?
Going into the fight, you know, I did my research on my opponent, and I knew he was going to be swinging pretty wildly. Mm-hmm. I knew that he was a little unorthodox, and you know from your experience that anybody that's unorthodox or newish, mm-hmm. they kind of give you problems. So,
yeah.
So with that being said, it's just like. I was cautious, you know, the first 20, 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. So, and then you're like, all right, I'm done being cautious. Let's finish this.
Yeah, definitely. No, I wanted to wait and kind of capitalize on his mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm more of like a counter fighter. I like to get on the inside. So I was waiting for the opportunity you know, to get on the inside and then do work and then exit properly. And, you know, I hit him with that good body shot, and that was done.
Mm-hmm. So what made you want to come back after 10 years away? And more importantly, what made you want to do it in bare knuckle? Because obviously everybody puts something at risk when they get in there. You're in the line of work as an actor and a model. Like, you know, we saw a guy pretty much lose an eye on Thursday night. So what made you after 10 years decide, you know, after you've been in some movies, you've done some modeling, you got an agent, what made you decide like, hey, maybe I'll let somebody punch me in the face with their bare knuckles?
Well, it's funny you say that. Like, I was a fighter before I was all the other things.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're in the gym grinding all the time. So it's just like, I felt that I still had the speed. I still had the skill. I'm not ready to put up the gloves just yet, or the mm-hmm. fist. I'm not ready to retire these fists just yet. and bare knuckle just came a knocking, you know. It's just, we've got Julian Lane in the gym. Uh-huh. You know, I got to experience BKFC with Julian. So, you know, I still feel like I can compete at the highest level. So I was like, well, you know what? Let's give it a shot. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. So you actually cornered Julian for his last fight, and we'll talk about his appearance on Thursday night a little bit later. But so that experience, like working with him and just being there and feeling the energy of BKFC, because it really is an energetic live show. Like, I could take or leave like MMA live. I'd actually prefer like sitting at home watching on TV, having a drink. But there's something about the bare knuckle energy. It's like electric. So was there something about just being around that made you think, yeah, I could do this?
Yeah. Just like you said, like the energy is something different that I've never felt. And you know, like I said, with skill wise, I feel like I can still compete with the top guys that are still fighting in BKFC now. You know, in bare knuckle as a sport, it's like, it's older generation fighters that are still competing. And, you know, there's no kicks, there's no takedowns, it's just hands. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, my hands they're not slow yet. Let's hope they don't.
Yeah.
They don't slow down. But I just feel like, you know, that energy and seeing it firsthand for the first time live with Julian, that I knew that I could still do it. So
for sure,
I thought it was a great way to make my debut in BKFC.
There was a rumor that your opponent suffered a broken rib from that body shot. Did you end up getting any confirmation of that?
No, I heard the same thing too. I actually saw him after the fight. We had, you know, we talked a little bit. Very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say his rib was broken, but he did say that I hit like a truck. So that was a small compliment that I had to take. But you know,
I can confirm that you do indeed hit like a truck. So. You had the night. You said you're not ready to hang your fists up. You go into the back. You change. You come back out. You see all your team there. Everybody's showing you love. Your girlfriend, friends. You had a cameraman following you around. It had to be the highest of highs. But now that you've had a few days to kind of let it sink in, like, I'm sure that night you were probably thinking, like, let me get back in there and do this again tomorrow. This is fucking awesome. But now that you kind of had some time to let it settle, how soon are you thinking about wrapping up the wrists again?
I would say, you know, within the, you know, if they give us a call tomorrow and they're like, hey, like, we'd love to have you on the January card, like I'm all for it. Like, I'm ready to go. Like,
mm-hmm.
if, you know, take a week off, you know, kind of collect myself and enjoy life a little bit. But yeah, if they gave us a call tomorrow, said like, hey, we want you to fight on the January card, I'd, you know, definitely give them the green light for sure.
Awesome. All right. So hopefully there's not too many pizzas before they before they call you. You got to be able to make that 130 pound limit in just a month and a half.
I actually think this one will be at 125. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I better lay off the pizza. For sure.
Yeah, maybe no pizzas, and you're sipping on a little something over there, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got a little sipping on a Bud Light.
Ah,
Bud Light.
Classic.
If you ever want to give me some sponsorship, I'm down. I would love that. I would be your man.
Well, Bud Light, you heard it. Get with the man. Sponsor him. You guys used to sponsor the UFC. Hey. You know all about combat sports. So, speaking of this January card, as of now, the only fight booked on it is Julian Lane and Caleb Harris, which is the fight that's supposed to go down, but it's looking like it may not. So, let's talk about your boy, Julian, making his presence known at BKFC in Tampa. So, for those who didn't hear, this stole all the headlines from the Bare Knuckle event. This past weekend at the Hard Rock here in Tampa. Mike Perry was present, who was recently signed by BKFC, and he was being interviewed by Chris Lytle in between fights at some point on the card. And Julian really wants to fight Mike Perry, so much so that he threw some papers at him. It came to blows. Mike Perry winds up with stitches. What's going on with your boy, JR?
You know, Julian wants that fight. He really wants that fight. And hopefully the boss man gives him that fight. You know, I understand. I get where Julian's coming from. How, you know, they did say that, you know, Mike Perry coming in, like, he might get a title shot in his first fight. I get it. That's frustrating to a guy like Julian Lane.
Yeah,
you know, he's made his mark. Like, he's one of the top guys in Bare Knuckle right now, if not the top guy. Mm-hmm. He's got a huge following. He's made Bare Knuckle a lot of money just because, you know, how Julian is. Yeah, I get it. I get how he's frustrated about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, tantrics that was happening during the fight, you know, that just comes with Julian. You know, I would never do anything like that. but you know, it's definitely entertaining and it's good for the sport. I feel like Bare Knuckle needs a Julian Lane. So yeah. You know, I don't disagree with him, you know, on why he's frustrated at all.
Yeah. And he knows what he's doing. Like, he knows how to make his presence known. Like, I don't know if he knew that it would come to blows or anything like that, but like, I think he probably just wanted to get Mike's attention. But this sport's tailor made for a guy like Julian Lane. And it says a lot, the fact that he wants to fight, you know, because he knows he can go with anybody. I mean, you let Thiago Alves throw at you with bare knuckles. Like, it's very clear you're not afraid of anybody.
Exactly. And he took that fight, I think, on 7 days' notice. Yeah. And he went in there and gave Thiago one of the hardest fights he's ever had.
Yeah.
I believe Julian won that fight after I, you know, went back to rewatch it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting the way that the bare knuckle is scored, you know, because it seems to be like blood is the determining factor. Like, if you're bleeding, like, you're losing. According to it doesn't matter if you outstruck somebody 100-1. If you're the one that's bleeding, they don't like that.
Right.
So do you think this will get him the Mike Perry fight? Do you think he's going to fight Caleb Harris? I mean, I know you might have some intel, so you don't have to disclose everything, but
honestly,
how do you see it playing out?
I think that he will fight Caleb first.
Uh-huh.
You know, as of right now, like, my opinion, it will happen. It will happen, him and Mike Perry. And it will be a huge fight.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that it won't happen, but I think his next opponent will be Caleb Perry for sure.
Yeah. What I like about Julian is that he knows how to get attention, but he doesn't take himself too seriously. You know, he took the Let Me Bang Bro from The Ultimate Fighter, and he made it his thing. Got it tattooed down his ribs. Like, it's one of the most memorable things from that show. You know, whenever they do like a top five, like most memorable, it's always the Let Me Bang Bro scene. And like, some people could have been like embarrassed by that or like feel like they're being goofed on, but he like rolls with it and makes it his thing, tattoos it down his body. And he's like, yeah, this is me. And I'm a bare knuckle fighter and I want to get in there with everybody. So let me bang, bro. Like, I meant it then and I mean it now.
Absolutely. And you know, it's crazy that something like that, the whole situation on, you know, the Ultimate Fighter, that could have ruined somebody. And literally 10 years later, you know, he's making money off of Let Me Bang. You know, and that's who he is.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's really, you know, turned something like that into something positive. And for all the viewers, you know, like you and I know Julian, like, and for all the viewers, it's like, they don't know that Julian is probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
Super humble. But when it comes to his job, you know, he takes it very serious. And that's who he is. So.
Yeah, if you put a camera on him, he becomes the Let Me Bang character. And if you put a character on somebody else, he's the Let Me Bang Bro guy that wants to fight the guy that's in front of the camera.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the rest of this card. Because, I mean, you go out there, you have, I believe you had the last knockout of the night. The rest of the... The rest of the fights went to decision except for Noah Cutter and Jordan Nash, which that was nasty, man. Were you back out in time to catch that one or were you still backstage?
Yeah, that was awful. You're talking about his eyelid, right?
Yeah. So for those who didn't see it, bad. Jordan Nash got punched and like, between his eyebrow and his eyelid, it got disconnected and was just gushing blood. So when you see something like that happen and you think about your acting career, does that still make you think like, yeah, January in Mississippi sounds good? Or does it, you're like,
You know, it's, that's something that, you know, I'm an athlete. I'd like to say I'm an athlete first and, you know, all the acting and all the other things that I've got going on I just enjoy that. That's definitely fun too. But, you know, in the sport that I'm in, sometimes it's not sunshine and rainbows, you know, as we are in a violent sport. But you know, I'm hoping to change the game to where it's, you know, get in and get out, you know, be smart when you're throwing those punches because we don't have gloves on.
Mm-hmm.
These are bare knuckles. And, you know, looking at a lot of these bare knuckle fights, it's a bunch of, it's guys stay in the pocket and just bang it out. You know what I mean? And, you know, with me, like, I want to change the game to where I can still be smart, be a sharpshooter, get in and get out, exit properly, enter properly. And, you know, and not take too much damage. So,
yeah,
I'm hoping that I never get caught in a situation like that.
Yeah, obviously. And I guess it's part of the excitement of it too. You know, you got to see if your skills can help you avoid something like that. But unfortunately in this sport, you know, things like that will happen. I mean, we've seen some mangled faces and then, you know, they take some guys with a little bit less experience that are just willing to get in there. And, you know, they're throwing wild, like you said. The newer people are the most dangerous. That goes for every combat sport. When you're experienced in jiu-jitsu, the last person you want to roll is a white belt because they're the most likely to hurt you. Like, give me 10 absolutely. Black belts in a row to roll with, and I'm fine. Don't give me the new guy on the free trial that's going to try and crank my neck and turn me into an owl.
Right. Like, well, and that's the same thing in sparring, too, man. It's like, dude, I won't ever spar with anybody that's brand new. Like,
yeah,
like it's
yeah
it's,
that that would be
me. Like,
Yeah, that would be worse for your acting career than exactly. fighting bare knuckle against a trained person.
Exactly.
We had another mutual friend on this card and who has become a staple in bare knuckle boxing, Dave Mundell. Fought Hector Lombard. I mean, I dare you to not respect a man who fights Hector Lombard with his bare fists. And that was a fight I believe Dave won, and I thought the judging was a little wonky. But Dave came away with his hand raised against Stanislav Grosso. What did you think of Dave's performance?
I thought Dave and I talked after the fight, and I told him, I'm like, dude, that guy was a tough son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like he just would not go down, and Dave was hitting him with some shots. Like, you know, yeah. Dave is an outstanding striker. Like mm-hmm. he is a nimble big man that has accurate punches. And that, I swear, Dave hit him one time. I swear his tooth fell out. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
No, Dave got him one time. I swear he knocked a tooth out of the man's mouth.
Jeez.
But yeah, like his performance was great. I feel like after that flash knockdown, where he took a knee and then got right back up. You know, Dave was like, you know, that he had to turn it up.
He turned
up and he looked amazing.
Yeah, Dave came away with the unanimous decision. Lost the first round, I'd say. And that's usually how it goes with him. Like he kind of needs to take a couple to wake up. And then once he did, man, he was an animal in there. And he kind of knew that, is it Stanislav? Yeah, Stanislav wasn't going to go down because there was one point he hit him with a flush straight left, and Dave can crack. Like you and I both know from experience, Dave can crack. And it turned his head, and then he just turned and looked right back at Dave. And I was like, this guy is the fucking Terminator. Like, how did he take that? So Dave had to change the strategy up. He's an experienced boxer, experienced MMA fighter. So he started going to the body. And wore the dude down, and you know, credit to that guy for hanging in there, because like some of those body shots were hurting me from the crowd. I was like, man, I feel that in my liver.
Yep. Yeah, he was hitting with some powerful shots.
Very, very powerful. And then the main event was wild. So let's get into that one, because Martin Brown defeats Bobby Taylor. Bobby Taylor, who, by the way, I hope I look like Bobby Taylor when I'm 40 years old, because this guy is fucking jacked.
he is jacked.
Like, you should not look like that at 40. I don't think I looked like that at 20. Like, not even close.
that fight was crazy.
Talk about a tough son of a bitch. I mean, he was knocked out like three times in this fight by Martin Brown, who, by the way, is another local fighter from Tampa, and hits like a truck also. Bobby Taylor's bloodied up, probably has a broken nose, maybe a broken orbital. He got up every single time and kept coming at Martin Brown, and even won a round, one of the later rounds, I believe it was. The whole audience thought Martin knocked him out in the first round, and it just turned out the round had ended. Like, everybody was going nuts, and then the next thing they're on the stools, and everybody was kind of like, what happened? But what was your reaction to this fight?
Yo, that fight, like, Martin Brown hit him with so many clean shots. See, Bobby Taylor was just throwing wild, and Bobby would throw these big looping haymakers and all, and Martin Brown would just step back and counter him straight down the pipe every time and hit him flush.
Yeah.
And there were so many times where I was like, oh my gosh, how is he coming forward still?
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild. Wild. Maybe one of the best fight of the nights for me was Taylor Starling and Hannah Guy. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Is it Guy? Do you know?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. These two young ladies, I believe they're 115 pounders. They were slinging at each other like hard, like for the whole five rounds. they didn't give a fuck about their knuckles or each other's faces or anything. Like, these girls, respect to both of them. Did you catch this one?
Yeah. And, you know, Hannah Guy, like, she looks like the nicest person you'll ever meet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, she's like a killer. Like, has hands. She's got skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Taylor Starling, dude, she is a beast. I saw her fighting the last Tampa card.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that was a hell of a fight.
Yeah. And she's entertaining, too. You know, she comes out dancing, and she's got, like, the flashy outfit, which, you know, was kind of a trend. Like, the one guy came out to the Mariah Carey Christmas song, and he was dressed as the Joker or something. Like, people are having fun with this.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bit of a controversial decision. Jenny Savage defeated local fighter Delaney Bailey. Fights out of Gracie Clearwater. This was a really close fight. And I feel like this one came down to the bloodshed, because I had it 2-2 going into the fifth. I thought Jenny had won the first two rounds. I thought Delaney won 3 and 4. And in that fifth round, it was really close. I thought Delaney won the fifth, and I would have given it to her 3-2. But she was bleeding considerably more than Jenny. I feel like that's what makes the difference in the bare knuckle. What did you think of this one?
Yeah, that one could have gone either way. Like, they were going at it the entire fight. And yeah, like I said, like, I mean, just like you said, you know, it could have came down to just the blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who had the most blood, but that one was definitely a toss up. Like, I that one's tough.
Yeah. I mean, you know boxing a little bit better than I do. I haven't really followed boxing closely in a long time, but I remember being there live for the Paulie Malignaggi and Artem Lobov fight. And when it was done, I remember thinking, if this was a boxing match, Paulie would win. Like, no, there was no question. Like, he evaded more shots. He landed more. He was peppering more, but he took more damage. And I said, whoever was standing next to me at the time, I said, I think Artem's going to get the decision, because Paulie's face was a mess. And that's the way it went. So how do you think it's being judged in comparison to boxing? Like, what do you think they're looking for? Did they discuss the criteria with you, you know, when you had your commission meeting or anything like that?
No, they just want to see the fight. They don't want to see a lot of non-action, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So they do want you to press the fight. I know, you know, Mundell, like, leading up to my fight, my debut, like, Mundell was like, hey, man, like, I know you like to kind of hang on the outside and counter a lot, but you've got to make sure that you're moving forward too, because that's what they want.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like from boxing to bare knuckle boxing, it's almost like you've got to have more dog in you, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, you need to really go after that fight.
Yeah.
Rather than boxing. You can stick on the outside. You can Floyd Mayweather the fight. You can show your skill, precise punches. But in BKFC, you really have to showcase your skill, showcase your accuracy with your punches, but still have that dog in you to go forward, mm-hmm. and keep on fighting. And that's, and I feel like that they want to see more of that.
Yeah. But
like I said, I want to change the game, man. Like, I don't want to get all the, you know, all the cuts and slices on my eyes and stuff like that. So I'm going to do my best to adapt my style into bare knuckle.
Yeah. Bring some finesse, bring some timing to it. I've been, and I talk about this, you know, every so often when the cards come up, I've been back and forth on whether or not I like the bare knuckle. And I've been to a few events and they're awesome. And then, you know, I'll try and follow and I'll look at the card and I'll see, like, some MMA fighters that I wish would have stayed retired, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to see that. But then I'll have a night like Thursday night where I get to go and, you know, talk to some fighters and be there as media. And I'm like, this is pretty fucking cool. What do you think is the future of this? Do you think it's going to evolve? Do you think it's going to kind of stay the way it is? Do you think it's going to get more popular? You think they're going global now. They're going to be, I think, in Thailand soon. But what was your feeling on it, like, before appearing in it and now?
Before appearing in it, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I can't believe that they're doing that.
Yeah.
And, as the years went on, you know, I saw it evolve more into a sport. Uh-huh. Rather than, like, whenever you think bare knuckle boxing or bare knuckle, it's just like cockfighting. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no skills, just in there, like, just beating each other up, you know, at the flagpole, basically, like whenever you're younger.
Yeah.
And now after being in it and seeing firsthand, like, I see the evolution becoming more of a sport and a brand now. And they're getting, I mean, there's definitely some skillful guys, like, you know, some guys that were in MMA that are now in bare knuckle, and some people that have just, you know, were boxers, went into bare knuckle. I feel like it's going to continue to evolve, and I'm just happy to be a part of it at this stage.
So do you have an opponent in mind? Or have you been looking at some names? Is there anybody you wanted to call out?
Not so much just yet, but there's been a few people that I've already called me out. I don't even know the guy. Somebody had just tagged me on a post that the guy did. Somebody had just tagged me on a post that the guy was like, I'll take J.R. Ridge
at, yeah,
125. So we'll see. All right. I'm going to leave it up to them to match me up, and then whoever they put in front of me, like, they're just a person. And
so anybody can get it at anywhere from 125 to 130.
Absolutely. You know, I feel like I'm gonna shake up this division at 125. It's a brand new division, and I'm going after that belt.
My man. All right. Well, that'll happen too. I mean, you get one of the best knockouts on the card. Like, people are going to start saying your name. You're getting a lot of buzz on social media. Like, people have been talking about the fight. It's awesome, man. I love seeing so much success for you. And you got a lot of other good things going on in your life too. You had an app that you created. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, the app, we're still in the works. It was, mm-hmm, fine-tuning a few things. You know, it's just the development part of it. And then, well, basically, I'll just tell you about what the app does. What the, yeah, app does, it say if you get in a car accident, mm-hmm, okay? You get in a car accident, the app knows you've been in a car accident. It immediately sends an automated text to your wife, letting, mm-hmm, her know that you've been in an accident. It drops a pin on your location, and also sends the nearest hospitals to where you had your wreck.
Mm-hmm.
So it also we've also added a few features. It tells you what your blood type is, if you're DNR, your allergies. It's got all of those things for emergency personnel when they arrive on scene. So my app is called Guardian Angel, and we're looking to get it out there as soon as possible. It's been ups and downs with the development, but we're looking to get it out as soon as possible.
Okay. Well, is there somewhere that people can find more information on it, or is it still going to be, you're waiting till, you know, it's finished to kind of get it out there?
Yeah, we're going to wait till we have a set date where, mm-hmm, everything, all the bugs are out. And then we'll give it a few weeks to, we'll get a buzz going and let everybody know what the website is, and they can, mm-hmm, do some more research on it. But, it's called Guardian Angel, and everybody be on the lookout for it.
Awesome, man. Well, I'll give you the floor. Do you have Anybody you want to shout out or any sponsors? Let the people know where they can find you on social media.
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram at JR Ridge. Look me up on Facebook. Pretty simple, JR Ridge. I definitely want to shout out our gym, MJM Muay Thai, the best, the biggest training facility in Clearwater. Matthew McCusker is our coach, the man. He really knows his skill. One thing that people don't know about Matt, he's not just a Muay Thai guy. He knows his boxing, and he knows any style of fighter. He can tailor your style for whatever fight you have coming up. So he really took Julian Lane's style and the way he is, molded him and sharpened him up for his fight against Boswick. He took my years of experience, sharpened me up for this last fight, and he's going to do so for the future fights. So big shout out to Matt. He's an amazing guy, amazing coach. And from your experience too, is, you know, Matt's phenomenal. So
yeah, he's the man.
Yeah, he is the man. Shout out Matt McCusker. A few of my sponsors, Team Reaper, you know, making all my walkout gear, your shirts, my shirts.
Yes, sir. Your shirts, which I happen to have one right here.
Hey, that's right.
So if you guys want to grab one of these, I love JR's logo. I got the tank top. So you guys can get yourselves one from Team Reaper. I'll put the link for his shirt in the show notes as well. So make sure you guys grab one of those and support JR.
Yep. Thank you guys so much. I definitely got to shout out Mike Fisher from Beach Waves Grill. He's one of my biggest sponsors. If you guys are ever out in Indian Rocks Beach looking for a place to eat, go to his bar and grill. It's right there on the beach. And I also got to shout out Marcus Schreier, one of my good friends. He owns Mid Florida Utilities. It's a construction company out here in Tampa. He's also one of my biggest sponsors. Shout out to him. Thank you. And Big B Studios. He's also one of my sponsors. He's actually the guy that was following me around with the camera.
Nice. So, and I've seen his work. He does some quality video work.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm going to get into some MMA stuff. I know you're more of a boxing guy, so I'm going to leave you to the rest of your Sunday evening. Congratulations on the win. Congratulations on all the success, all the buzz. You deserve all of it and more, and I'm looking forward to getting back in the gym with you soon.
All right, man. I appreciate you having me on, and I'll see you soon.
Of course. All right. Take it easy, brother.
All right, man.
All right. That was JR Ridge. Make sure you go back and catch his bare knuckle boxing match if you missed it. It was awesome. I've seen quite a few bare knuckle boxing fights. I don't believe I've ever seen anybody knocked out with a body shot. And, you know, the fact that he may have broken a man's rib with his bare fist is a pretty savage thing. And JR is a pretty savage dude. I'm proud to call him a training partner and a friend. All right, folks, let's talk about some MMA. And hopefully Jeff the Animal Wilson will be joining soon. I think he's on his way home. So I'm gonna cover some of this by myself, and then hopefully we'll have the birthday boy jumping on. All right. So UFC 269, Charles Oliveira, Dustin Poirier. Wow. This card was so much fun. And, you know, people were asking me, like, who I thought was going to win the main event. Nobody was asking who I thought was going to win the co-main event. The consensus was Amanda Nunes was going to walk right through Juliana Pena. And everybody who kind of said that, I was like, man, you guys need to slow down, because it says a lot that Juliana was asking, more like begging for this fight. You know, that says that she knew something Like, she saw something in Amanda Nunes that she thought she could exploit, and she knew she had a chance, and she really wanted an opportunity to prove it. And a lot of people were saying, like, oh, she doesn't deserve this opportunity. Who has she beaten? She got submitted by Valentina, who moved down a weight class and lost to Amanda twice. All this stuff, just why she didn't deserve to be in there. I'll tell you why she deserved to be in there. Nobody else wanted to be in there. Amanda has cleared out two divisions. You know, she just demolishes everybody. And that alone made me think, man, and especially if Amanda was thinking what everybody else was thinking, that she's just going to mow Juliana Pena over. That's bad news. That's like a bad mentality to get into. But in any case, people were asking me about the main event. And I was thinking, you know, I was breaking it down in my head. I thought Dustin Poirier would win, but my gut told me, like, when I first looked at this fight, that Oliveira would win. And of course, I can't prove that to any of you because I didn't say it on the show. I don't like giving picks just because I'm not good at picking fights. And I don't want you guys gambling your money away based on something that I say, you know. I'm here. I'm drinking whiskey while I'm doing this. Russell's Reserve 10-year bourbon, by the way, for anybody who's been wondering. I'll talk about that a little bit later because we got to get the MMA stuff talked about here. This was a great fight. You know, Dustin knocked Oliveira down, I think, in the first round. And rocked him pretty good. And Charles has shown, you know, improved cardio and improved chin since moving up. You know, both of these guys had fought at 145 at one point. Now, you know, look at them, they're fighting for the world title. Like, further proof that guys should be fighting closer to their natural body weight. And then, you know, it was the jiu-jitsu, man. It was Charles Oliveira, most submissions in UFC history. And if you really broke it down, you know, Poirier had been submitted by Khabib. You could argue, I wouldn't say Oliveira is a better overall grappler, but you could say his jiu-jitsu is better than Khabib. So if he got on top of Dustin, it was going to be a problem. And it proved to be. And Oliveira is such a nice, humble guy. I feel like he doesn't get the shine that he deserves. I mean, this is the best lightweight in the world right now. And this is a division of killers, you know? So hopefully, like, people start to talk a little bit more highly of him and start to put him into conversation with these great fighters. Like, the things he's done in the UFC are just incredible. Yeah, congratulations to Charles Oliveira in his first title defense over a really tough guy in Dustin Poirier. You know, these guys are both two of the top lightweights. They have similar records. 32-8 for Oliveira, 28-7 for Poirier. Yeah, good fight. Exciting way to end the night. And then the co-main event, obviously the shock of the night to a lot of people, especially the guy who bet $318,000 on Amanda Nunes. Like, that guy just lost, like, the equivalent of a house. And if you did the math, she was a -1,000 favorite, I believe. So he would have only won like 30 grand. And I'm not a mathematician, so, you know, feel free to correct me on that. I don't know a whole lot about gambling either. That's why I don't do it. But yeah, I mean, Pena, you know, she turned it into a dogfight. She got Nunez off her game plan, got her trading with her. And then I loved the takedown, the body lock into the knee bump in the second round. And I saw some criticism. I think it was from Ben Askren. He said that Amanda Nunes shouldn't be considered the GOAT anymore because she got choked out with no boots in. Now, what he meant by that was that Pena finished the choke on top of Amanda without wrapping her legs around the body. My counterpoint to that would be she wasn't tapping to the choke. She was tapping because she was basically almost knocked unconscious. She was exhausted and she had no way to win. She needed a way out. And that's what happened. And I'm not saying that to criticize Amanda Nunes. I think she's still one of the baddest human beings walking the face of the earth and one of the most skilled fighters, male or female, of all time. But that's just the fact of the matter. She was just done. She was, you know, she knew she had nothing left to give in there. And she was, you know, she had to tap. So here's what's interesting to me is what's going to happen. You know, the broadcasters were saying that Nunes will obviously get an immediate rematch, but that hasn't been the case in the past. In the past, the champ has gotten finished. They don't get a rematch right away. Look at Jose Aldo, you know, look at Stipe. You know, there's many examples of, you know, if the champ gets finished, they don't get the immediate rematch. If I'm Juliana Pena, I'm calling out Amanda Nunes at 145 pounds. You know, even if she thinks it's a little big for her, like, why not ask for the opportunity for both of Amanda's belts? And then say, if you beat me at 145, then I'll give you a rematch for your belt back at 135. That would be my move, because then you're lining up. You're either going to, you know, become a legendary double champ, or, you know, you're guaranteeing yourself big paydays in your next two fights. Because if she defends the 135 pound belt against Amanda and loses, then her next fight after that, she's not getting the championship pay. But if she fights her 145, she's guaranteeing her next two fights at least will be the championship pay grade. And then if I'm Valentina Shevchenko, I'm screaming from the rooftops that I want the Juliana Pena fight, because she's cleared out 125. There's nobody left for her to fight. She's too good for everyone there by leaps and bounds. And the only reason they weren't giving her the title shot with Amanda is because she lost to her twice. Even though I thought Valentina won the second fight. And in the first fight, I know you guys are tired of hearing me say this. In the first fight, Amanda won the first two rounds, but was exhausted in the third. And Valentina would have won it if it went five rounds, I believe. So now you have a new champion. Not only is it a new champion, it's someone you have a submission victory over. If I'm Valentina Shevchenko, I am not going to stop saying Juliana Pena's name until somebody puts her in front of me. So those are two scenarios that it will be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, I know Amanda is heavily favored amongst the UFC, and, you know, they may give her the immediate rematch, but I think it would be interesting if Juliana called her out at 145. I think that would be a super smart move. Like, yeah, I'll give you an opportunity to get your belt back if you could beat me at 145 pounds. Give me a chance to take that belt from you too. So anyway, that's just my two cents. Jeff Neal and Santiago Ponzinibbio in a close fight, split decision. I had said last week that Jeff Neal had gotten a DUI, and I didn't know if that fight was happening or not. I got to tell you guys, I got to be honest. I did not research this or look it up or verify if it was true. And it could have been like an old picture I saw. Oh, no. Okay, so following DWI arrest, Jeff Neal is ready to move forward with Santiago Ponzinibbio at UFC 269. All right, so that happened on Thanksgiving, the arrest, and I guess, you know, he sorted it out. So I didn't lie to you guys. It makes me so happy to know that I didn't lie. I mean, feel free to hold me accountable for any of the other bullshit you hear me say week after week. Let's see. What else do we got? Kai Kara France knocking out Cody Garbrandt. I got to say, I was concerned for Cody Garbrandt when I saw him after the weigh-ins. He's a lean guy already. And he was getting knocked out brutally, twice by TJ Dillashaw, once by Pedro Munhoz at 135 pounds. And then he decides he's going to cut even more weight. And for those who have never cut weight before or don't know a lot about the science of cutting weight, the reason guys get knocked out more when they're cutting a lot of weight is because your brain is the last thing to rehydrate. So you're dehydrating your body. You're sucking all the water out of your body to bring your body weight down. Now, immediately after weighing in, you can rehydrate with electrolytes. With a lot of guys do fruit, to try and get some weight back on. But it can take your brain up to 48 hours to rehydrate. I might be making up that time, but it's longer than the period of time you have from the weigh-in to the fight. And that's why you're more susceptible to being knocked out. Credit to Cody, because he was out on his feet twice. And he was backpedaling, and he was telling Cara France to come at him. And, it's hard to watch. Like, if I'm anybody close to Cody Garbrandt, I'm not even necessarily going to say that he should retire, but he needs to take the same nutrition he was using to get down to 125 and probably go back up to 135 and, make sure he's at a really healthy weight so that his brain is fully hydrated when he gets in there. Here's a guy who had one of the biggest falls from grace we've seen in this sport. I mean, his win over Dominic Cruz was one of the most impressive victories of a challenger over a champion that I've ever witnessed. I mean, that Cody Garbrandt that night, if you were to tell me that, 3 years later or whatever the case, he would have been knocked out four times, like brutally. I wouldn't believe it. I was like, that guy that did that to Dominic Cruz? It's unfortunate. Cody was a rising star. He had a lot of hype, and I believe he was coming off, a rough bout with COVID, and he had a bad staph infection and all this stuff. And, knocked down quite a few pegs. I imagine his next fight will not be on a main card. Depending, because he probably still has like a very lucrative contract, so they may not want to put him on the prelims. But once his contract is up, he's not going to have as nice of a looking contract. Sean O'Malley TKO over Julian Paiva. O'Malley and Garbrandt were going back and forth at the press conference, and O'Malley has kind of like, taking his own gimmick to heart, because people are criticizing him for not fighting ranked opponents and not stepping up in competition. He did fight Chito Vera. What people don't realize is by saying all that stuff, you're just hyping the kid up more. I hate to break it to you, but that's what you're doing. Every time you have the kid's name in your mouth, you're helping him out, even if you don't like him. That's the reality of it. That's the way this sport works. And he will probably, he could end up fighting a non-ranked opponent in a main event. Like, it could happen. So just be prepared for that. He's calling himself the king of the unranked fighters. He's taking this gimmick and running with it. Paiva, it just showed a lack of experience in there. I mean, he was getting into the pocket without moving his head, and that's how you get hit. He was moving his head when he was on the outside, and then he would move into the pocket. He wasn't throwing. He wasn't moving. So what do you think is going to happen? You get knocked out, and that's what happened. So there's that. Josh Emmett, unanimous decision over Dan Ige. Didn't see that fight, so can't talk about it. I was actually driving while that fight was going on. I should have gone back and watched it, but I didn't. So here we are. Dominic Cruz, Pedro Munhoz, this fight was crazy. This one was fight of the night for me because it had great scrambles. It had great exchanges. Dominic Cruz, if Keith Peterson was reffing this fight, Dominic Cruz would have lost by TKO in the first round because it could have been stopped. He got knocked on Queer Street for sure. Can we say that anymore? I'm waiting for my producer to let me know, which is me. Yeah, we can say that. Okay. So Dominic Cruz basically gets knocked out. Oh, and Mark just informed me that this was fight of the night. Dana White agreed with me. All right. Well, Dana, when are you going to hire me? When am I going to start working for the UFC? Let's get things in motion here. I gotta teach Dana White about whiskey because he's drinking that fucking banana whiskey that he loves, that Howler Head stuff, and I guarantee it's probably not that good. But yeah, Dana, give me a call, man. You got my number. Let's see. Yeah, so Dominic Cruz knocked out in that first round, basically. He comes back to win the second and third, looking sharp as ever. So I guess he needed that flash knockout to shake the cobwebs off, shake off the ring rust that he doesn't believe exists. And, outstruck Pedro Munhoz, you know, kept tripping him up with that wacky takedown he likes where he grabs the ankle and the shoulder and the opposite shoulder. I always find that wild. I feel like you leave yourself so wide open for knees and stuff. But, you know, Dominic Cruz moves in such a weird way that he just makes it work. And it definitely worked against Pedro Munhoz. So Dominic Cruz moving up. I think he was 9 and Munhoz was 8. So I guess he'll probably just swap places in the rankings. All right, Mark Fellows, let's talk about your boy Tai Tuivasa knocking out Augusto Sakai in the second round, 26 seconds in. The first round of this fight was exciting. Both of these guys landed big shots. These are both heavy hitters. And then in the corner, Tuivasa's coach told him, pressure him. You're going to tag him. Trust me. So he pressures him, hits him with the big hook. As Sakai goes down, what was scary about it is, and Mark just told me that Tai Tuivasa spent his $50,000 bonus on the strip last night. And when I first read this, I thought he meant at a strip club, but he actually meant on the strip in Vegas. So maybe it was a strip club. Was it a strip club, Mark? In any case, he hits that big hook. What was scary about this was Sakai's leg folded underneath him in a very unnatural way, very similar to when Gabriel Gonzaga head kicked Mirko Krokop and Krokop's leg bent under him, and I think he may have torn his ACL. So hopefully Sakai's leg is okay. And then Tuivasa did his typical shoey. What I liked is they were panning around the audience and people were like holding their shoes and their beer, and they pan to this one guy and he's like, yeah, Ty's gonna do a shoey. And then he pours the beer in his shoe and dumps it all over his face, and the UFC immediately cuts. Somebody was freaking out in the booth, like, get the camera off that guy, we can't show somebody dumping beer all over his face. Let's see. Bruno Silva, nasty knockout over Jordan Wright. So that was a good one. Andre Muniz with the armbar over Eric Anders was a belly down armbar. Just nasty, man. This guy's a nasty grappler. Broke Jacare's arm or shoulder or both. This guy, there's going to be people afraid to fight this guy. I guarantee. There are people who are already putting their phone on silent after this guy fought last night. So he's putting the division on notice. Like, he's coming to collect limbs. So I imagine a lot of people are going to avoid that dude. Aaron Blanchfield, dominant unanimous decision victory over Miranda Maverick. I have to say I was surprised by that one. I was leaning towards Maverick in that fight, but shout out to Aaron Blanchfield getting it done. Unanimous decision. Ryan Hall, unanimous decision over Derek Minner. Minner, credit to him, man. He wanted to show that he could grapple with Ryan Hall. Took him down in the first round. You know, wasn't afraid of getting his guard. Was doing a good job of avoiding things. He avoided those leg locks, but, you know, avoiding things doesn't get your hand raised. So, unfortunately for him, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Is that something we can say? I gotta check with my producer. Let's see. Jillian Robertson submitted Priscilla Cachuera with 1 second left in the first round. And somebody sent me a video. I wish I could remember who sent it to me. But somebody sent me the video. I didn't notice this when I was watching the fight. But Priscilla, when she was in the rear naked choke, took her thumb or her finger and stuck it all the way in Jillian Robertson's eye socket. Like deep. Like she was fingering her brain. It was gruesome. Mark says he's firing Cachuera for that one. That's dirty, man. That's, you know, say what you want about oil checks. Like, you know, I come from a wrestling background. So, you know, oil checks is part of the game. You know, the ref's not looking. You know, you pick up that bowling ball. But, you know, that doesn't do any damage. It just makes somebody uncomfortable and makes them squirm in a way that lets you take advantage of them. Like, you could ruin somebody's vision permanently jamming your finger in their eye. So if you're going to jam your finger somewhere, jam it in their asshole. That's my advice. You know, in case you were wondering. All right. It's looking like Jeff might not make it. So, and I got to tell you guys, while we're talking about Jeff, I'm a terrible friend because yesterday was Jeff's birthday. And we even talked about last week how his birthday was on the same night as UFC 269. I did not call Jeff yesterday, and I feel horrible about it. So happy birthday, buddy. You know I love you. And, you know, this dad brain is a real thing because even though we talked about it last week on the show and I know his birthday is the 11th, in my head, I'm thinking I'm going to wish him happy birthday on the show. We're going to do the show. Then I sit down on my computer to prep for the show. By prep for the show, I mean like pull up that picture of JR that I showed and pour myself a whiskey. That's pretty much the extent of my show prep. In case you guys were wondering, I don't know if you wanted me to break down the fourth wall or not. And I look at my computer and I see it says December 12th. And I was like, holy shit, I'm an asshole. I didn't wish Jeff, who's one of my best friends in the world, a happy birthday. I didn't call him on his birthday. And I was texting him about the fights too, like an oblivious idiot. So I'm a terrible friend, guys. And, you know, you probably shouldn't be friends with me because there's very few benefits. I have a good whiskey collection. That's about the, you know, the buck stops there. I'm not going to call you on your birthday. You know, I'm just not a good person. All right. So let's talk next week. There's some fun fights on this card. UFC Fight Night 199, which is, I guess, UFC Vegas 40 something. Derek Lewis and Chris Daukaus. This is a fun one. And here's the situation, which is pretty much all of Derek Lewis's fights, where he's getting in there with another big guy who is more skilled than him. And it never seems to matter. Like, you just can't count this guy out. Like, the things he does are technically just not good. Like, it's not good technique. His grappling, his escapes, like some of the strikes he throws, it's just not like, you know, it's not textbook like fighting, but it doesn't seem to matter with this guy. He just finds ways to win and he finds ways to make things work that shouldn't. And then they do. So I don't know. I'm not going to give you guys a pick because again, I don't want you, you know, spending your hard earned money based on something I say. You know, like that guy. But then again, maybe I would have saved that guy $318,000 if I spoke up last week because, you know, I was one of the only people thinking Juliana Pena, like the fact that she was calling for this fight alone said a lot to me. But, yeah, it sucks for that guy, man. $318,000 for the chance to win $30,000. Like, obviously, that's somebody with fuck you money, but that's got a sting. Let's see. Stephen Thompson, Bilal Muhammad. You know, two guys that nobody really wants to fight in this division. They could be putting themselves, you know, this would be a little parody because neither one of them has fought the champ, Kamaru Usman. So, you know, they could be propelling themselves for the title shot. And, you know, people could stop talking about Khamzat Chimaev fighting for the title already. It's an interesting thing at 170 pounds now because you have a guy who's taken his second lap around the division, but you still have very skilled guys who haven't fought him. But Stephen Thompson, you know, coming off a loss to Gilbert Burns, you know, Vicente Luque still out there. Who's Kamaru Usman getting next? I don't know. Amanda Lemos and Angela Hill. Angela Hill, a long layoff for her. I think it's been 3 weeks. So she's getting back in there. Here's a fight that I'm really excited for. Rafael Sun Sao and Ricky Simone. And dare I say? Let me see. Yeah, I think so. This is my sleeper pick, guys. Watch out for this fight, man. Because let me just pull up a Sun Sao here. People always forget that for a while, Rafael Sun Sao was one of the scariest dudes around. And he had that nasty KO loss to Cody Garbrandt in his last fight. And he's lost his last three. But before that, he had a win over Rob Font. And he had four wins in a row. One over the interim champ, Aljamain Sterling, as well. People forget, man, that Sun Sao for a while was like the scariest bantamweight on the planet. Like he was just a bad dude. Three losses in a row, but man, don't sleep on Rafael Sun Sao. And I just lost this Sherdog just went completely dark on me. So there's that. I got that going for me, which is nice. All right, so I guess I'm not going to talk about the rest of this card, and yeah, you guys probably didn't want to hear me talk about it anyway. Mark says, did I just count 27 fights on this card? I don't know, Mark, because I apparently lost Sherdog here, so I can't pull up the card. Oh, here we go. I got it back, guys. You can stop panicking. Now you guys are all having panic attacks in your house. Let's see. How many fights are on this card? Let me pull it back up for you fine folks here. No, there are 14 fights on this card, which does seem like a lot. Hopefully it's one of those. Oh, Jordan Leavitt is fighting on this card, the opening fight. I got to say, man, ever since that KO slam, I've been excited to see this kid back in there. I would think they would move him up on the card a little since then. Like, he's such a marketable, unique guy. He's fighting Matt Sales. And then Dontel Mays is fighting Josh Parisian. I wonder if he's related to Carl Parisian. I should probably do a little research before I get on here and you know, start talking about shit, but, you know, it just wouldn't be on brand. Gerald Meerschaert against Dustin Stoltzfus. Sorry. And then here's another fun one. Cub Swanson and Darren Elkins. That'd be a really fun fight. Two really durable guys. You know, Cub Swanson can deal a lot of damage. And Darren Elkins can take a lot of damage. That's why he has it tattooed across his chest. We got another Aussie on the card, Justin Taffa and Harry Hunsucker. So we know who Mark's going to be rooting for. Old Harry. And then we got Diego Ferreira and Matheus Gamrot. That's a fun fight too. This is a really this is a sleeper card, folks. You know, if anybody's going to be like having a UFC hangover after that big pay-per-view, you're going to be missing out if you skip this one, I believe. That's my personal belief. All right. Well, that'll about do it for fight night. 199 UFC Vegas 40, whatever it is. If you guys want to grab some MMA on the Rocks merchandise, check out our friends at Team Reaper. And I'll show you my buddy JR Ridge's shirt right here. It's got this. I've always liked this lion he's got. Well, I was talking to him. I should have asked him where he came up with the lion logo. So you can grab one of his shirts. You can grab one of my shirts over the top under the influence through our friends at Team Reaper. Reaper1.co is the website. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. That'll get you 10% off on your whole order. Whether you buy my merchandise, you buy JR's merchandise, or any other fighter. Team Reaper is an awesome company. They really do right by the fighters. You know, anybody who ever talks about the fighters should be getting paid more, well, Team Reaper actually does something about it. They give them the opportunity to make a little money off their names by selling t-shirts and putting money in their pockets so they can buy nutrition plans and, you know, pay their trainers and all the stuff, all the expenses that come with trying to make your way to the UFC. So big fan of Team Reaper. A lot of Team Reaper fighters were represented at the BKFC this past Thursday. I had so much fun at that event. It was really cool. So I'm glad they hooked me up and invited me to be part of the media there, you know, and wander around backstage and put my media pass in my pocket while I was drinking whiskey because I felt like it was unprofessional, even though that's kind of my thing. So yeah, grab some merchandise. A shout out again to my boy JR Ridge for popping on the show in the beginning, giving us a little insight into the life of a bare knuckle boxer. JR is a good dude. I've been training with him for quite a while now and very skilled boxer. When he says he wants to bring skill to bare knuckle, like he's not just saying that, like he's all about sharpening his tools in the gym. The dude works really hard and I'm really proud of him and happy for all his success. I hate to end it on a bad note, but I still feel terrible for not calling Jeff on his birthday. What a piece of shit I am. So there's that. I'm going to have to drink my sorrows away. I've been drinking this Russell's Reserve 10-year bourbon throughout the show. This is one of the best value bourbons you can find right now. I almost hesitate to tell you guys about it because you can get a bottle of this. It's aged 10 years, 90 proof, and you can get a bottle of this for about $30. For those of you who know, I'm like a Buffalo Trace fanatic, and I used to go crazy trying to find Blanton's, which you'll know is the bourbon with the, you know, the horse on top of the bottle. And I used to go into, every time I saw a liquor store, I used to stop and ask them if they had it. I did blind taste test with three of my buddies who are, you know, pretty knowledgeable about bourbon with Russell's and Blanton's. And two out of the three chose the Russell's. So that gives you an idea of how good this stuff is. And now Blanton's will cost you, I don't know, $120 a bottle. Like, good luck finding it cheaper than that. So for like a fraction of the price at 30 something bucks, maybe $35, you'll find this for. It's really good quality. It's got a lot of the same flavor notes that like some of the notes that I love in bourbon, like that, like dark cherry, like vanilla, and oak. It's just really good. I mean, for a bourbon that's aged 10 years, it's hard to find a better value than Russell's. And this is made by Wild Turkey, I believe, makes Russell's Reserve. Don't quote me on that. I'll correct myself next week. I'm willing to correct myself when I make mistakes, folks. Yeah, awesome show. I had a good time talking to my buddy JR, talking about the fights. I wish Jeff could have jumped on, but, you know, schedules don't line up. You know, we'll get him back next week. If you missed Jeff, then please reach out to him and let him know that you missed him at @animal_Wilson, Twitter and Instagram. And you guys know how to get a hold of me. It's at MMA on the Rocks everywhere on social media. Reach out to my buddy JR. Give him a follow on Instagram at JR Ridge. That's JRRIDGE for those who are challenged when it comes to spelling. And that's all I got, folks. So until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.